Beautiful, beautiful. I mean, also 1972, you made an appearance on Soul Train. That mm-hmm. was an iconic TV program, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that was, Soul Train was the the biggest show out.
And in its early days as well.
I think I was on there about twice.
Yeah.
Couple of times I was on there, yeah.
I forget which year it started, but I thought it was very early 70s. And
I think I did Stand By Your Man. Might have done In the Ghetto, too, when it came out. I think I did. Two. Those were my hit records at the time. I was nominated for Grammy for both of them.
Lovely.
So they had me on.
So 1974, as you say, the relationship with Clarence was declining rapidly. You left Fame Studios and went West Coast, didn't you, across to Warner Brothers?
Yes. Right. I did quite a few albums with Rick, and I was doing just rhythm and blues, R&B, you know, a little mm-hmm. pop here and there. But they wanted to go... The last record I did, it wasn't selling. It stopped. The record stopped selling, okay? And... They weren't selling. They were selling, but not as much as they had been selling.
Yeah.
So the momentum was going down between Rick and me.
Mm-hmm.
We were coming into a new dispensation of music.
Yeah.
And we were still trying to hang on to the old, and it was moving up into disco.
Yeah.
And Gloria Gaynor just came out with "I Will Survive."
Yeah.
And women were rights. Women rights were. Coming out of the closet, and they were everywhere talking about "We Are Somebody," and you know, Gloria Estefan, what's her name?
What, Gloria
that started
Gaynor?
The women's lib thing.
Oh, I wouldn't know. Sorry.
In Chicago, she started it in Chicago. I think she named I forget her name now, but she was a big name. You could look it up. She started the women's lib thing. You know, don't open a door for me; I can open my own door thing. I'm saying I like the doors being open for me. Where you coming? You know, I love that. But music was just changing along with society.
That's right.
And so we weren't. We were still begging men to stay with us. Please don't leave me. And they weren't buying that anymore. So Warner Brothers, Mo Austin. I think he was the president at the time. He said, "Rick, now we're gonna put this record out." He said, "But if this record doesn't sell, and we don't get the kind of a rapport that we've been getting on these records, we don't get the kind of sales that we've been getting. Would you be willing to release Candy to us?"
Right.
And Rick said, "Well, yeah, I guess I would. Yeah, if she wants to come." If she wants to go with you, that's fine.
Lovely. So it was nice and amicable then.
It was
excellent.
Like, I said, and they asked me would I like to go with Warner Brothers. I said, sure.
And off you went. And in 1974, you released your debut LP on Warner Brothers entitled Candy. One of my favourites from that LP is called Can't Stop Being Your Fool.
Stop being
great track, and what an opportunity.
You know, Warner Brothers was a course, humongous a huge record company label. I'm like, I'm getting into the big times now, you know, the big days, big, I'm going on up. But
so was there a difference? Was there a difference between working for Fame to working Warner Brothers?
Oh, it was great. I mean, they had all kind of promotions. Or they had anything you needed. They were they had parties. They had everything. They knew how to promote. Let's just put it like that.
Lovely. And talking of parties, of course, you were regularly on the guest list at Studio 54 in New York.
I never performed there. I just was a guest. I was always going. I just see other people perform. There were nobody really. I never went there a night anybody performed. Mm-hmm. It was just everybody was a star.
Yeah.
Everybody was a star. Everybody came dressed in gowns that we performed in.
Right.
I mean, it was amazing. They come dressed like they were performers.
Wow.
It was no blue jeans, none of that stuff going on. It was gown sequins, beautiful outfits. I mean, it was like tops. I mean, it was like models, you know. People came in there just to be seen.
We'll say, I think everybody was there, weren't they?
Yeah, guys coming in dressed in shiny shoes. And I mean, I'm like, good Lord, I'm going to have to find me a designer to keep up with these people. So I'd go just to see what people were wearing. And we just go in there and dance, and, you know, it would be all kind of stars in there.
Yeah,
it would, you know, Stephanie Mills and Diana Ross. And it was just amazing people everywhere, Chaka Khan, and it would be just artists all over the place.
So is that where you
run into anyone.
Is that where you met Patrick Adams? Because he was really instrumental in the New York disco scene, and you collaborated with him. Patrick Adams, you collaborated with him on When You Wake Up Tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. We met a lot of contacts that we could work with. You know, you sit there and you drink a beer or drink your mixed drink or whatever and sit there and make a deal.
Mm.
You know, and that's where people came. And they would have the guys outside choosing who could come in and who couldn't.
The bouncers, yeah.
Yeah, the bouncers, they would say, well, they knew me by now, you know, so I never got turned away. They would say, Candy, come in. Come on in. And they turned Diana Ross away one night. I'm like, goodness, oh, my God. She must not have been dressed appropriately.
No, I don't know.
But they turned her away one night. But they never turned me away.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
But, of course, all this high living and, high life, high society comes at a bit of a price, doesn't it? Because you're always exposed to alcohol and drugs, and it's easy to get sucked in, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And that's where I got involved.
But you got out as well, and that's the important thing, isn't it?
So tell
me about getting out of the side.
I was hooked for about, oh, God, I guess maybe 13 years.
The thing is, it's so easy done, isn't it? It's just the more it starts off small, and the more you do, the more you can do, and all of a sudden,
there's this voice, there's this feeling inside of you that you're inadequate unless you are.
Mm.
Unless you have a drink. Yeah.
A lot of peer
pressure. You lose all of the nervousness and the butterflies and all of the things that we have to go through when we hit the stage for performance, and you see all them people and you get a little nervous. Well, if you get a couple of drinks, you just all, you know, you just,
yeah, of course,
you feel mellow and you feel oh God, you know, that you can do anything, you know, you're not nervous at all. They're just people to you now.
Absolutely.
You know, they're nothing special. They're just people, you know.
Absolutely.
Before then, they were like, oh, my God, I wonder who's out there. Oh, my God, am I going to do good tonight? Lord, let my voice be good. You know, all that kind of worry you didn't have.
No.
You didn't care more.
No.
So that's what hooked me. But thank God in 1982, I gave my heart to the Lord again.
Lovely.
And he totally delivered me without any drawbacks, without having to go into AA or anything like that. He delivered me from alcohol.
Excellent.
I fasted 3 days.
Right.
And he took my appetite for alcohol away. And I gave my heart to the Lord during those days. And I've never regretted it.
Good. Good. And that's when you started, you turned your musical talents to gospel, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. It took me a couple of years, but I did. Eventually went back to gospel music because now I'm not drinking and the clubs are boring. You know, and I'm looking at all these drunk people I'm singing to and they don't even appreciate me. So I'm like, now I'm real sober.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, and they talking while I'm singing. And I'm like, I'm getting, I'm like, do you realize I'm singing to you and you're drunk?
Yeah.
And then, plus, I just felt compelled to start doing gospel music. I just loved it. It was like something rising. It was God. I know it was God rising inside of me saying, you've had enough of this. It's time for a change.
Quite right. And the title track from your first gospel LP, Make Me an Instrument, is a lovely, lovely piece of music.
Lord, make me an instrument of your love. Take me where I'm needed most. Help me say the right words at the right time, so you might save someone that's lost. Keep my feet from all the wrong places. Fill up all of my empty spaces. Oh, Lord, make me an instrument. Your love, Lord, make me an instrument.
Hitting the gospel world by storm there, then.
Yes, it is.
On your own label as well.
Yeah.
Baraka.
Yeah.
Baraka.
We couldn't find anybody to take. We had a different sound.
Mm-hmm.
And no gospel label wanted us.
Right.
None. They would not put us, you know, put any music out on me. We went to several record labels, Word Records and different big gospel labels, and they said, no, it's too white to be black and too black to be white. And I couldn't understand what that meant.
Oh, dear.
So I was an MOR gospel artist before it became popular.
Yeah.
You know, now you got a lot of MOR, middle of the road type of, could go either way, you know, music. But that's what the songs I was writing, and that's those songs God was giving me to write for me. Because I would go look at these old hymns, and they just didn't fit me, you know. Some of them are standards, and I don't mind doing them, like Precious Lord and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But then I wanted something new. I wanted something to attract the younger generation, people that was in the world, out there in the clubs, and they wanted that sound, but they didn't have it in the church.
Mm.
So that's the gap I was trying to fill.
Well, I think to an extent it worked, didn't it? Because you got a Grammy nomination for the LP.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it was. We finally got that. We had three nominations. I think Sing a Song became Grammy nominated, and it might have been another Love Lifting Me or something else. But we finally got there on our own.
Yeah.
We worked hard, too. We worked hard. We worked very hard to get that. And so I stayed there, and then, you know, we weren't drawing really big crowds. And we were suffering financially.
Okay.
We couldn't live the lifestyle that I had been so used to.
Mm-hmm.
And so the word got out that I was, you know, someone came to the church and heard me sing and introduced me to Jim Baker.
Right.
And Jim Baker put me on national television.
Mm. Yeah.
And after national television, I began to get invitations to conferences and churches.
Yeah, that television, you had your own weekly TV show, didn't you?
Yeah, eventually.
Fantastic.
I was on TV.
Did you enjoy doing TV?
I was doing TV for 25 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Which do you prefer?
That's the sabbatical. Y'all didn't see me in Europe.
No,
absolutely. Those years.
So do you prefer TV to public performances, or is it just two different things?
TV took me to the public performance.
Yes.
You know, they
you
had
get
to
a much
see
wider
me,
audience, don't you?
Because the radios wouldn't play my music.
Yeah.
So the Lord let me do TV.
Finds a way.
He always finds a way.
Yeah.
And people started inviting me. And the Lord began to bless me with money. And we got another house, and we got cars. And we just, you know, we could live pretty much close to the lifestyle I had been used to when I was doing, you know, my old music.
Yeah.
And
You started getting invitations to places like corporate events and fundraisers. Well, tell me about the invitation to the White House.
To the White House. I went there twice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went there with Carter, President Carter. I was at the White House with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I was also at the White House with President Clinton.
Fantastic.
So I've been to the White House a couple of times.
What was it like? Did you get to meet the two presidents?
I didn't meet. I met President Carter.
Okay.
But I did meet Hillary.
All right.
She came in the room with us, and we sat there and we talked. And I brought a book that I had just written, and some music. I don't know if she listened to it or not, but you can't give gifts, and they have to okay. The Secret Service have to okay your music, and my music, and my book was one of the ones they.
Accepted.
Okay.
Lovely. It's the same over our royal family is not allowed to accept gifts. It's a very similar sort of a thing.
Yeah.
Fantastic. But an accolade.
So anyway, I was there for 25 years, and the church was so strict in certain belief systems, and I hate that. during those days, which they've kind of lightened up a little bit now.
Yeah.
But at the time when I was breaking in, my ex-husband and I had this TV show together, and we came up the ladder together as a team.
Mm-hmm.
And so he had gotten back into, he was a cocaine addict before I met him, before he gave his heart to the Lord.
Is this John
Sussurra?
Stopped
all that foolishness. Yeah, his name was John.
Uh-huh.
And so I couldn't take it any longer, and I divorced him while we were in the church.
All right.
I tried my best to stay with him, but I couldn't. He had gotten so horrible.
Oh, dear.
I couldn't live with him. And I'm going to tell you, I don't live with horrible people.
Oh, of course not. Life's too short.
And it's too short.
You can't have
and
negative
so I'm
vibes.
Like, you know what? I don't watch a lot of movies. You know, they'll just kill their partner. I am not killing anybody. I'm leaving.
Yeah, absolutely. Very wise.
I'm leaving. They can call me Elizabeth Taylor if they want to. I don't care.
No.
I see why she left so many men. But anyway, I got divorced and the church dropped me.
Right.
TV dropped me. Everybody dropped me. And I was so devastated that I didn't have a way to make a living. And I'm thinking, Lord, what am I going to do? I mean, even the churches that had given me invitations
mm-hmm.
drew them back.
Oh, ouch.
They canceled. And I'm like, why did they cancel? They say they don't want no divorced woman teaching their people.
Goodness
me. They didn't want that spirit, quote unquote, in the church. And now, guess what?
God.
They're divorced. Some of the pastors that that told me I couldn't come to their church, they got divorced later. And I'm like, oh, okay. So that's the way it was. And so I began to pray and ask the Lord. I said, God, any door you open, I don't care what door you open now. I'm going to walk in it.
Right.
2 weeks later, you guys call me. That's when I get on stage over there and tell you how much I love you. I tell Europe all the time, EU, I have the European people, I love you all so much. Because it was your hands God put me in.
I think we've got different attitudes over here in the UK and Europe,
mm-hmm.
because in America
yeah.
it seems to be that, yes, you've got a great song or you're doing something, you're creating something wonderful, but that's then and what's you going to follow up with? What's next?
Right.
Whereas in the UK
it's
and Europe,
it's always competition.
We take great music and great things and cling to it.
Right. You guys are so different. You just love good music.
Absolutely.
You know, and you're loyal. You're loyal. When you love some of us as artists, you don't put us down. You keep us. You know, we're like fine china or, you know, sort of rare antique.
Yeah, it's great.
You know, and that's, I love it. And when I walk out there on that stage at the Glastonbury Festival and say, you know, you don't have a clue how much I love you. And they scream and they jump and they say, yes, we love you, Candy. You don't know what that does. That just does something to my heart. I want to cry.
Oh, bless.
Because I know where I was when the UK picked me up.
Yeah.
I had nothing I could do, and I know God was in that put me there.
Well, one such European opportunity was, it was quite strange, wasn't it? You got the love in 1991.
Mm-hmm.
That was, your vocals were sampled on Source's version of You Got the Love, and you didn't realise you'd recorded it? Or perhaps
no,
it was never meant to be a 45?
They slipped it on me. That was one time they slipped it by me. I didn't know I was over there.
Wasn't it for a TV advertisement?
The artists and the musicians were coming back, and at that time I was still on TVN, the Trinity Broadcasting.
All right.
And they said, Candy, you got a hit record in Europe. I said, get out of here. What hit record? I said, they don't want my music over there. I'm singing gospel now. And they said, no, it's on the charts. I said, what are you talking about? He said, it's like, it's something about love.
Yeah.
I said, okay. You can't remember the title? Honest to God, I forgot I had made the record.
Well, that must have come as quite a surprise then, because it did very well over here.
Hands up in the air. I know I can count on you. Sometimes I feel like saying, Lord, I just don't care. But you've got the love I need to see me through.
So, what can you tell me about that?
I made the record in 86.
Okay.
And it had sat dormant for years. And I had forgotten I had made the record. It was about a guy losing weight, for heaven's sake. They were doing a video about a guy losing weight, and they needed me to sing the song.
I could do with a bit of that.
And the guy never lost the weight, and the song just went, you know, they just put it on the back burner. And Dick Gregory, the comedian out of Chicago,
right.
It was for him, for his project, The Bohemian Diet. And some guy from his organization took my vocal only.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't take the music, just took the vocal to Europe.
Yeah.
And there was this, what's his name? This guy... He died. I can't think of his name at the moment. His music was playing, And he went up with the vocal, and he asked him to put it on top of it.
Right.
To see what it worked. He heard it, and he figured it would fit. And it did. And that's how you got the love started.
Excellent.
The Source got a hold of it and mass-produced it. And, you know, and good Lord, I mean, it went, kept going. And it's still going.
It is still going. That's right, yeah. Great piece of music.
And that was my opening, you know, and it was a gospel record.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's still going, and I open all the doors that you see me walking into today.
Beautiful. You also took, whilst we're on gospel, you were inducted into the Christian Music Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Lovely.
And also the Rhythm and Blues Hall of Fame.
Oh, in excellent.
I got inducted when Rick was still alive.
Okay.
He gave me my award.
Lovely. That must have been a special
Alabama
moment.
Music Hall of Fame. Yeah, I'm in that too. And also the Christian, and then the Carolina Hall of Fame as well.
All right.
Carolina Music. So I've been in three Hall of Fames. I'm waiting on Cleveland. The big one.
Excellent.
Hopefully I get it one day. And Georgia. Georgia haven't done anything either, so maybe one day they will.
All right, I'll see what I can do to give them a kick along. So, Candy, yeah. what do you do to unwind? You're obviously a very busy lady, but what do you do? Where do you go when you want some me time?
Well, I have a little house that's in the country,
mm-hmm.
way out in the country. I don't live in the city.
Because you're in Atlanta,
aren't you? I bought a house. No, I'm not in Atlanta. I'm in a little city called Madison,
right.
which is way out. And they do a lot of movies there.
Okay.
It's a nice, James Madison was one of our presidents. And that the city was named after James Madison.
Okay.
So he lived there. And it's a very quaint, nice, everybody knows everybody. It's about 17,000 people
live
there.
Oh, I like that.
There.
That sounds very much like the town I live in, Newark.
Yeah. And I bought a house out there. And, you know, I have a guest house. My son lives mm-hmm. there with me. And it's like a big house. It was made for multiple families. And it just fits me because my other son lives in an apartment in the basement.
Right.
And my other son lives in an apartment in the guest house.
Fantastic.
And I live in the big house.
It must be beautiful to have all your family around you.
Yeah, and we have a big indoor swimming pool, that's how I'd relax. I just get out there and flop around in the pool, and, you know, I'll take walks in the country, and I sit and listen if the birds sing to me in the morning, and I listen if the donkeys bray at night. So, and, you know, the frogs and all that stuff, it just soothes me.
Yeah.
I just get so comfortable living there, and I go other places, you know. I go around. We go on. Sometimes we get on. We go to cruises and stuff like that.
Okay.
So I have a lot of ways of relaxing. Plus, I love my family, and I'm always over to my daughter's house and my son's house. We go to the studio, and we write songs in my spare time. And, you know, there's always something happening in Atlanta. I go to concerts when the right concert comes. And I just love it here, you know. So I have a lot of ways of relaxing. And when I want my quiet time, I can get it.
Lovely. And when you say you go to the studio, you've been releasing an album on average every couple of years, haven't you? In fact, we've got a current album called Unstoppable. Some nice tracks
mm-hmm.
on there. Like this one. Here's Revolution of Change.
It happen if we only try, if we could just touch one life at a time. Stop living in a bubble, thinking everything is. No, I'm not gonna stop until I see a complete turnaround. Taking advantage of their authority. Nobody seemed to have regard for human life. No, 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 no. Guns on the street. We never know who's packing. You see, love is lacking. There's a war going on. It's the truth.
Bears, Revolution of Change, just one of the great tracks on the new CD, very aptly called Unstoppable. And in fact, it features two of your sons, doesn't it? Marcel and Marcus, both yes. play on the album. Great
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, two of my sons, yeah. Marcel's playing bass and Marcus is playing drums.
Lovely.
And excellent drum. Excellent drum.
Good. And there's some lovely tracks on there. You also done a cover of your old friend Tyrone Davis's Can I Change My Mind? Let's give that a spin.
Oh, he didn't bat an eye as I packed my bags to leave. Thought he would start to cry as I sit around my room and eat. Y'all, the boy, he fooled me this time. He acted like I was the last thing on his mind. I would like to start all over again. Oh, oh, honey, can I change my mind? I just wanna change my mind. Changed my mind. Oh, as I took those steps towards that open door, knowing all the time, oh Lord, I just didn't want to go. He didn't give me no sign. Nothing that would make me change. I would like to just start all over again. Oh yes, I would. Can I change my mind? Please, 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 babe. I just wanna change my mind. Mm-hmm. I played that game times before. People, let me tell y'all, oh, I never reached that door. Oh, the wind's higher tonight. I keep looking back, but my baby's not in sight. Change my mind. I didn't really mean it. Oh, baby, I just wanna change my mind. You know, I keep thinking about all the good times. All those good times we shared. You see, you are a good man.
Can I change my mind? Yeah. When I come back, I'm probably going to do that song in person.
Lovely. Do you have plans to come to the UK then?
Well, we're working on next year.
Excellent. Oh,
yeah,
that'd be
we're
nice.
Working on next year.
Maybe we can meet
over
up.
And do some tours. Yeah. Yeah, I'm a lot better. I wanted to make sure I was well.
Oh, absolutely.
And I was completely healed. And I didn't want to come out too soon.
Mm, no, quite right.
You know, right. And work start working too soon. And my body is not able to take it because I'm not that young anymore, you know.
Give over.
So I have to look out for my, you know, my body now.
Yes, you have to listen to your
and,
body.
You have to listen.
You do.
And I'm taking really good care of myself, and my family takes real good care of me, and I'm under the doctor's care. And so I'm just making sure that I'm okay.
Quite right.
So I can come over and give a good show and not get sick while I'm over there.
Yeah. Right, that's it. You've got to listen to your body, because if you do too much, nature has a way
of stopping
you.
You're going to better believe I'm going to be well.
Good. I hope so too.
And I'll be sure to let you know.
Thank you very much. So just before we finish up, what's playing in your car? What music have you got in your car at the moment? If we were to open the, glove box, what CDs are in there?
You know what's in there right now?
Go on.
I do some of my own. Most of the stuff is I'm getting back into me.
Okay.
It's been a year, and I do a lot of gospel in my car. I do gospel music in my car. I listen to CNN.
All right. The news, yeah.
Yeah, I want to know what's going on in the world. And just gospel music, and mostly my music, and sometimes I do other people's music. Aretha, I might put Aretha on, because she was a good friend of mine, and I miss her.
Beautiful.
I really do miss her. I miss Nancy.
Nancy
was a
Wilson.
Friend of mine as well.
Yeah. What a lovely vocal. So, where can people buy your material? Do you have your own website, your own online shop, perhaps?
Yes, I do. It's candy-staton.com, Baraka Records. You can look up Baraka Records. Mm-hmm. You can go on iTunes. You can buy my music on iTunes, or in the other places on
all usual outlets
that you can go buy. There's regular places that you can go and buy. I'm getting ready to put up some more music too. When I'm going to the studio. We did some tracks that was never been released.
Okay.
And I'm going to release them. I'm going to put them up on iTunes. It's some songs that would fit to what's going on right now politically.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to put up some songs that will give people. One is called Breathe, Just Breathe. And then one is called Where Do I Go From Here? Where Do We Go From Here?
Mm.
And so it's really some nice songs that didn't make the album. And you can always get Unstoppable. I wish you would. I wish they'd go pick up Unstoppable. Unstoppable is an amazing album.
It is. It is.
I just got sick. The beginning of the album, the reason it didn't go any further, because I got sick. I learned the day that I was starting to rehearse for the promotional tour that I was diagnosed with breast cancer.
Yeah.
And can you imagine what that did to me?
Oh, absolutely. Devastating.
It was like, what? I couldn't believe it. And then we still did 6 shows. I didn't stop the tour. I didn't let the breast cancer stop me. And we did great shows. L.A., we did New York, we did Atlanta. We did several places we went, you know, me and the band. And I only told them about it after the tour was over. We went to Nashville, too, and I told them when the tour was over.
Yeah.
That what I was dealing with. And they were like, I said, don't be all, you know, don't get sad. You know, I'm getting through this. I'm going to get through this. So they kind of cheered up, but they were still a little heartbroken.
Yeah. Candy, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but we've run out of time.
Okay, AD, good talking to you.
It's
thanks
been an
for
absolute
having
pleasure.
Me.
Thank you so much for giving me your time. And
oh, you're welcome.
I look forward to meeting you when you come to the UK.
You will.
I'm going to play out now with a track I regularly play. It's a personal favourite of mine. This is Too Hurt to Cry. Thanks again.
Pet babe, and she's waiting for you on the outside. For as long as we've been together, baby, how can you tell me this is goodbye? Thank you. devoted my life to you. Listen, to ensure your happiness, baby, there was nothing I wouldn't do. No, no, no.